Hallelujah.
Well, good day, everybody. Pastor Tim Karskatten here, Christian Center Shreveport, daily podcast, each and every day here at this channel you're listening to. We're talking about true leadership in the earth, what we need right now, the prophetic insight that nonconformity will actually lead to societal transformation. That's what we're called to. All right, let's keep pushing into this revelation.
He is wonderful. We say hallelujah, hallelujah. Salvation and glory, oh, oh, honor and power to the Lord. For the Lord our God is mighty.
The Lord our God is mighty.
He's omnipotent.
The Lord our God is omnipotent.
The Lord our God, He is wonderful.
Well, we give thanks that He is omnipotent. We need an omnipotent God who can control every situation. Well, welcome. It's Wednesday, the third day of May, 2023. We are rolling through this month, the new era month. That's what the Lord spoke to me, that we're in a new era, not just a new month, a new season, but a new era. And I'm really digging into that. I'll probably talk a little bit more about that in the days ahead. But right now, I want to finish this passion that the Lord's put in my heart about what I started with Monday, about nonconformity really produces real leaders. Now, again, just a little rehearsal of what we've been talking about. It's not about being different to be different, not conforming just to not conform. True leaders will follow, but they'll follow truth. They'll follow the Lord. They'll follow good leaders. They'll follow good people. But they're going to follow a different path, a different road. And because of that, we're marching to the beat of a different drum because we want to see societal transformation. We want to see my city changed, my nation changed, wherever you are, you're believing for the same thing. Your family changed. And so this story of Abraham is probably the best picture we can find, especially in the Old Testament, of somebody who was uprooted from a society, family, birthplace. We gave those three things that he was asked to move from. And because God knew that he needed to come out of that, to come into a new culture and to create a new dynasty, which was the Abrahamic covenant that God gave him. And it changed everything that was going on in the world. And it changed him. It changed everybody he touched because it was a new paradigm. God's paradigm came into the earth that was different than the one before. And so he is our picture here of us walking in nonconformity. You know, you can imagine what it was like for him to leave his family, birthplace, his land. Where are you going? What do you mean you're going to leave us? What about the family business? What about all that we're doing? You can imagine all the questions. But he heard the voice of the Lord, and that's what a leader does. He'll leave mother, father, home, everything. That's what it means to take up your cross. And you'll go wherever Jesus tells you to go. Well, obviously, he was a believer in the Lord, prophetically, and a type of Christ coming to him eventually in the Spirit and beginning to direct his path. So we see this story where God gives human beings freedom. And our problem with freedom is that we tend to misuse it. And in the beginning of the scriptures, Adam and Eve did the wrong thing right. They ate the forbidden from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. They were not supposed to. Cain murders Abel. Not long after that, we keep reading the book of Genesis, before the flood, it says the world became dominated by violence. All flesh was perverted. Every man's way was evil. That's what it says in Genesis. So God created the order that he wanted in the earth, the kingdom, the way he wanted to function. And man, in its great gift, created chaos. That's what we tend to do. But even after the flood, you see the builders who want to build what? Babel. The 11th chapter of Genesis. We're going to reach God. We're going to build a tower and reach the heavens. So humanity failed to respond to the Lord's dealings at that time, which is where Abraham comes into this picture, and he's our picture of nonconformity. He's not going to do what everybody else did. He's not going to help build the Tower of Babel. He's not going to be violent. You understand? He's different. He walks in a different place. And we weren't sure what he was exactly summoned to do. The word says he was called to move and come to another land. We know that he was commanded to leave, right? We talked about that in Genesis 12. But what he was supposed to do there, the scripture doesn't really tell us. So it's kind of quiet. So the question has to be, what is the call of Abraham? What makes him so special? Not simply a good man in a bad season. You know, Noah was that. He was but what made him a father, a leader of a nation of leaders? Because that's what he became. He's the father of all nations. That's us, right? So we have to kind of look at the scriptures and see if there are some points in scripture that kind of give us a guidance that will help us in our nonconformity to society, to the ways of the world, to become these leaders. But the theme that you see throughout Genesis, especially in the beginning, is everybody was failing to take the responsibility for their actions and what they were called to do. Adam and Eve, they didn't have personal responsibility. What did Adam say after he got caught? It wasn't me, it was the woman. You know, Eve goes, it wasn't me, it was the serpent. You know, it was just like we were not responsible for what we did. They wouldn't take that. And they did not understand that what it means to have freedom and the responsibility that comes with it. They didn't get that. And so then we see Cain comes along, right? Kills his brother. He didn't really deny personal responsibility. He didn't say, well, it wasn't me. But what did he say? He said, am I my brother's keeper? You know, he denies the responsibility, the morality of life and death. He denies that he's responsible for that. And then we go forward and we see Noah comes on the scene. And he didn't take really responsibility. He's a man of virtue, obviously. He walks along the way and do what he's supposed to do. But we see no evidence in the scripture. I realize this is a short narrative, but we see no evidence that he impacted his peers around him. He saves his family and his animals, right? But no one else. Did you ever wonder about that? Why didn't he tell everybody? Well, we didn't see that in scripture. But according to when you read the text, he doesn't even try. But when we understand Abraham, he is the guy that's different than these other people. And this is who we're supposed to be. We're joint heirs with Abraham through Christ Jesus. We need to take this. He took personal responsibility. Remember when they got in a big fight with the herdsmen and his nephew Lot, and seeing that whole thing, that they had a problem in Genesis 13, Abram says to Lot, let there not be a quarrel between you and me, or between your herds, your herders and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let us part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. That's in Genesis 13. Abraham passes no judgment. He doesn't blame anybody. He does not ask, whose fault is it that we got in this fight? He does not ask who's going to get the greatest outcome from this, is whoever gets the better land. He gives Lot the choice. He sees a problem and he responds. That's what we do as leaders. And nonconformity means that, you know, well, you would measure that out and say, well, it's not right that Lot would get better land and more water and all this stuff. That's what we would do. But he doesn't see that way. He doesn't see it that way. He just does what's right in the eyes of the Lord. And he does that very thing right there. He didn't ask. He just acted and solved the problem. So in the next chapter in Genesis, we're told about a local war, right? They take away Lot and all his possessions. That's the 318 company we've been talking about a long time. He sees that. So immediately, what does he do? He gathers some workers, 318 people, and goes and rescues Lot. he takes with him and all the other captives, and he returns safely to their houses, right? Refusing, the scripture says, to take any of the spoils from the victory that he offered by this grateful king of Sodom. And that's a strange passage. You know, Abraham seems to be this shepherd that just moves around, but all of a sudden he's this great warrior. And I guess if we looked at it, we probably ought to see it in the context of Cain, because Abraham acts differently than Cain does, because what he ends up doing is he becomes his brother's keeper. I realize it was his brother's son, but he becomes his brother's keeper, and he understands that he had a moral responsibility as a leader to take care and help people. And despite the fact that Lot chose to live where he did, you know, that wasn't a wise decision. Abraham didn't say, well, that's your choice. I'm not going to help you. See, what we need right now is people to take, one, personal responsibility, but then also be your brother's keeper. Help your brother who's making poor decisions. That's what an intercessor does. That's what somebody who stands in the gap. When you study about what it means to stand in the gap, that means you pray in areas and you do things that others are not doing that should be doing it. Okay? So we see this amazing story goes on where I think it's one of the first times that a human being in Scripture challenges God himself. God's about to pass judgment on Sodom. He's about to slam them. And Abraham, fearing what that would mean and what it would mean to the city to be destroyed. This, well, take this in context of where we are today. And in Genesis 18, he said, you know the story. Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? This is the Abram talking. If there were 50 righteous people in the city, will you still sweep away and not spare them for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from me that you would do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating righteousness and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Shall you judge of all? Shall the judge of all the earth not do justice? Man, he's challenging God. That's a remarkable statement. And the question is, who is he, Abraham, to ask God for such a thing? Where did he get that kind of chutzpah, as we'd say, to say something like that? You know, and God kind of gives this answer. Listen to what God says. Then the Lord said, chapter 18, verse 17 through 21, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on the earth will be blessed through him. And then the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin is so grievous, I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. And those words where he said right there, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? That's our cue right there. That God wants Abraham to respond. Otherwise, he would not have said that to him. Why would he have said that to him? I guess a better question. So the story of Abraham can be only understood through what we saw with Noah. God told Noah in advance that he was going to bring punishment on the world. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all the people from the earth, because it's why it's filled with violence. We know that story. And because of them, I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. But you know what? We don't see any story or any part where Noah says, nope, don't do that. Three times. He says Noah did exactly what God commanded him. So in other words, Noah just accepted, this is what you're going to do, whereas Abraham was different. He was non-conformative. He challenges it. He understands this principle, which is we're all responsible for what we've done. Yes, Lot made the poor choice. Sodom and Gomorrah made a poor choice, but they are us. So even though Sodom weren't his brothers and sisters, he's going beyond what he said he was going to do and just rescued Lot. He prays on behalf of a city. And he understands that God has if we understand God's heart, he wants to rescue all. That's why in the New Testament it says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation. Abraham tapped into that revelation. Let us tap into that. Let us be transformers. Let us be non-conformative to the ways of the world, caving in, you know, at every turn, and say, no, we're going to be different. We're going to be responsible. We're going to be our brother's keeper. We're going to pray for our cities, our states, our nation. I know we do that here on this platform. You continue to be a part of it so that you can bring transformation. And like Abraham, lead people by caring for people. This is our passion, to be who we're called to be. And we're going to be different, and you must be different for the hour in which we live. In the name of Yeshua, I pray a blessing over you, that you too would walk in this truth. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, thanks again for listening to our daily podcast here from Christian Center of Shreveport. Reminding you, our Isaiah 62 fast time starts next week, the 7th through the 28th. We're going to pray noon each day, Central Time in America. We'll be doing a Zoom call if you'd like. We'll let you know the contact numbers so you can do that, and you can be on with us. We have capacity doing 100 people one day. Check our website out, ChristianCentersReport.com, and our app. It tells you all about it, and of course tells you about all that we do. Thank you for sowing. Those who gave your first fruits, we're praying over your first fruits now. May you have a good day, and we'll see you tomorrow. What an amazing testimony. I've had these things happen to me before. May they happen to you as well. Well, we went a little bit longer today. I hope you enjoyed that. Shabbat Shalom. Also remember, next week we start our Isaiah 62 fast. And we're going to be praying for Israel for 21 days at the noon hour Central Time here in America. So if you want to join us online, we'll be there praying 1 hour each day for 21 days. Okay. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Well, I apologize for being a little bit long, but it's worth it. I really don't apologize. What a great testimony. Well, Shabbat Shalom to you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week on our podcast. See you later. Bye-bye.